What is up, Wisconsin? Girls do run the world.
Yeah.
And I certainly have one of them that I want to see more of and definitely running the world. Her name is Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's running for the 8th Congressional District in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Kristen. It's such a pleasure to have you. Folks, you can find her here every Thursday at 3:30 up until Election Day. You got questions for the good doctor? Great. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Thanks so much for making time.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. I love hanging out with you and Aaron.
Yeah, it's a gosh darn good time. And you have a big debate coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, UWGB's Mothy Center. It's going to be covered live by WBAY, and it'll be streaming on their website. And we haven't had a debate like this in Northeast Wisconsin in a long time. Remember, you know, it's been pretty politically treacherous up in this area. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk about the things that I care about, what I'm hearing from people all across the district, and just to demonstrate why I am easily the best candidate to represent Northeast Wisconsin.
I'll jump in on that bandwagon because one of the things that has bugged me for a really long time, and listen, there have been rich Democrats that have run for office. I worked for one of them here in Milwaukee County. But one of the things that really bothers me, and there's now, it seems to be like an increasing pattern of frequency where it's extremely wealthy people like your opponent, like Tim Michaels, who ran against Governor Evers, like Ron Johnson, like the former MAGA president, that think that simply because they've got a whole lot of cash in the bank, and off, you know, I explore every day at 3 o'clock on Maggie and the Millionaires, how the system is skewed to help rich folks and basically burden the middle class, that they think they can just sort of waltz in and, oh, I'm rich, so of course you should vote for me. It will be interesting to me to see how your opponent tomorrow addresses some of these issues. You have been on the stump talking about issues for a long time. But as we approached this debate for you, Dr. Lierley, it occurred to me a bit of reflection on the presidential debate of a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you know what happened in the 2016 and 2020 cycle with other female candidates running for the presidency, and what I have experienced in my own career, and to be very specific about it, you know, I worked at some of the world's largest law firms, and at one firm in particular, I worked for two before entering government service. At the second one I worked for, there were guys that didn't bill as many hours as I did, who didn't produce work that was equal to mine in either quality or volume, and they received bonuses that were much larger than mine. Mm-hmm. And I was always innately bothered by this.
Why would that bother you, Maggie?
Yeah.
That's just how it is for the ladies.
Yeah, just accept your 80 cents on the dollar. What's the problem? But I came across some sound from Representative Jasmine Crockett speaking about this double standard. This was in a House committee hearing on Project 2025. I thought we could take a listen to it because it's fun to listen to and get some of your reactions, because you will be a woman on a debate stage with a rich white dude tomorrow. And I just wanted to get your thoughts. Let's take a listen. This is Jasmine Crockett on September 19th in the U.S. House hearing on Biden-Harris policies.
The only reason we're having this hearing is because somebody got their feelings hurt in a debate. And I don't understand why we're wasting taxpayer dollars. Next time, tell your big boy to show up and be ready to handle the woman in the room who hopefully will become the next president of the United States. Nevertheless, while we do have two amazing authors from Project 2025, which it seems like everybody got the memo, like, yes, I'm gonna double down and say it's my thing, but I'm gonna make sure I also say that it ain't our homeboy's thing, because we know that it doesn't poll very well with the American people. people because the American people are woke enough to recognize that there is nothing good in it for them. And the final thing that I will say is that this election, I didn't ask you a question. The final thing that I will say is that this election is the best example of why y'all are so afraid of diversity, equity, and inclusion, because then you can't have a simple-minded, underqualified white man somehow end up ascending. Instead, you've got to pay attention to the qualified black woman that is on the other side. And with that, I will yield.
Preach. Wow.
can we hear the whip again, Aaron? Because that's just good. Yeah.
I mean, she does not mince words. And how beautifully stated. I know you've felt that way, Maggie. I've definitely felt that way. When I look at my opponent, I mean, he's probably a nice guy, but you know, yeah. Let's be honest. This is a guy who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His dad gave him a business. He ran it for a while, sold it, went on vacation for a year, and then just decided he was going to make public service his mission. But it's not like you went to the store and bought a public service mission kit. Public service is something that you do all along, and it's giving and it's helping, and it's little things and it's big things. And the fact that he and his cronies bought this Trump endorsement and they think that that's their ticket to buying this House seat, that alone is a giant motivator for me with my long history of public service. I mean, I'm a first generation college student. I have fought for everything that I've got, and my North Star has always been taking care of people, serving others. That's the whole reason that I'm here. So the contrast between me and my opponent couldn't be more stark. And it is so beautifully exemplified by Jasmine Crockett in that clip.
Yeah, it was great to see her at the DNC. I got to have a like snippet of a conversation you call walking and talking, where I just got to say, big fan, keep doing it. Love the hot takes that she drops, because it's just so accessible and relatable. And it is not surprising to me. Like, I have watched a lot of hearings in the House of Representatives, like far more than is healthy for any normal person, because I am a political junkie and a lawyer, and I love that stuff. But the fact that that one of the witnesses started to interrupt her, I thought was fascinating. I myself have had too many experiences to count where I get interrupted. I frankly now don't permit it on my radio show. And I do most of the interrupting these days because it's my show. But it conjured up lots of memories for me where ideas were co-opted or I was talked over. I'm frankly now at a point in my career where sometimes I will elicit the middle-aged white guy to put forward my idea because it's more important for me to get the idea out there and adopted. Mm-hmm. Than it is for me to get credit, but not all of us have those luxuries. I just wanted to get, you know, as you strategize for the debate tomorrow, is this part of what you have to be prepared for? This talking over, this condescension, because it seems to be the brand of MAGA these days.
It is the brand of MAGA. I don't know that it is my opponent's style. Mm. I think that it's actually going to be a very civil debate. I think it's going to be very much about the issues, and I don't think that we're going to be throwing a lot of spears at each other. And that is what I hope for, because I think that's what the people of Northeast Wisconsin really want to see. But, you know, going back to something that Jasmine Crockett said, how she talked about DEI is the threat. And it's the reason you're so afraid of it is because you know that you'll no longer be able to be the dominant voice in the room. I think that's entirely true. And one thing that I am so proud of that we have been working on up here in this part of the state is when we realized we were going to get fair maps because of all the work, all the foundation we laid, we already started talking to candidates more than a year ago. And many of these candidates were women who were activated by the Dobbs decision. And they weren't eager initially to step up. They looked at the legislature and said, that's not me. You know, typically, like, that is not I am not the person who is typically filling this spot, because it's typically an old white guy. Yeah. But the more we talked with each other, the more we realized that it is us. And we have more women running in Northeast Wisconsin than men because we created that. And until we can do that all over the country, we are going to have to support, we're going to have to fundraise, we're going to have to elevate, because we have to work harder than they do. They are already there and they're pushing down on us because they don't want us to achieve that same status. So we have to work harder and we have to do it together, but we can do it and we are doing it. It's happening.
Yeah, old rich white guys have always had affirmative action because they're presumptively the one that gets the job, gets the position, wins the election, does the thing, gets the big paycheck and the bonus and the CEO. I mean, on and on it goes. Folks, Kristen, can you tell folks where they can find out more about you and your candidacy?
Oh, absolutely. KristenForWisconsin.com. And I'm on all of the socials at KristenForWisconsin. And I love our social media presence. So find us on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, because we are having, it's all volunteers, and we are having a blast telling people what we're all about.
That's the most important part. And I think you see some of that in Kamala Harris's campaign, when you're having fun because you believe in what you're saying and you're not lying every single day and making it up and gaslighting America or gaslighting your voters or the people that you want to speak to. It becomes fun because you're speaking to your fundamental values. We've got a question from Cam from Appleton. Cam, go ahead and say hello to Dr. Lyerly. And what's your question?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not too worried about your debate performance against Bobby Newport, but I do think that I have a fearful question, and I'm not looking for fear mongering because that's not me, but I have a feeling that because GOP leadership or MAGA leadership hasn't been going crazy in the last few weeks, they haven't been yelling or screaming as loud as they normally would or as much as I expect that they would, that they're just kind of settling in now, going, or senior sliding, quote unquote, with the fact that they're just going to cheat anyways, and they're going to do it worse or more bigly than they did last time. You know, what do you plan to do in your position? Because I know in the DOT, for example, they have the NIMS test, and the NIMS test is like when nuclear Armageddon happens or something massive happens, that you have people who took that test fall into the positions for leadership roles for citizens. And I don't know if there's something similar in politics or not, or you know how I mean, right?
I think what Cam's trying to ask, and Cam, thanks so much for listening and calling, is there is a arguable assumption to be made that all sorts of malfeasance could occur after this election, all sorts of claims. If those issues come up tomorrow, Kristen, how do you plan on addressing them, Dr. Lyerly?
You know, all we can do is what we can do. And I'm really proud of the campaign that we have run so far. It's easy for us because when I talk about the issues, I talk about them from my heart. It is a truth, and the truth is easy to tell. I don't have to tell somebody else's story. So we're just going to keep working together, saying the truth, reflecting back what we're hearing from the people of Northeast Wisconsin, which is they're tired of politics. They're tired of fear and division. They want that neighborly feeling back. And I really believe we can restore that. But that means that we all have to pitch in. We all have to vote. We all have to help each other out. We need to be poll watchers. We need to be volunteering. We need to be talking to each other about the issues. There's so much that each of us as individuals needs to do. And we need to do it at a rate, in a place where we feel comfortable doing it. But this is community building. This is democracy. And if ever there was a time for us to do that, this is that time.
Very brief question, Dr. Lyerly. If you clearly lose the election on November 4th, will you concede?
If I clearly lose the election on November 4th, I'll happily concede. And then November 5th, and then November 6th, we are going to go ahead and think about what comes next. Because yes, this isn't just about an election. This is a movement. It's about the future of this country.
Folks, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You can find out more about her campaign at KristenForWisconsin.com. What's the network that they can find the debate tomorrow at?
WBAY online.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dr. Lyerly. She joins me every Thursday at 3:30. We're going to come back with some more thoughts of mine about this double standard. Infuriating. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We run the world.
I'm Bobby Newport. I'm not gonna stand here and tell you facts about what I plan to do to help this city. Vote Bobby Newport for City Council,